Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It's about 4 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock in our Eastern time zone. For our friends in Hartford, welcome. I'm Dick Whitworth. And today marks the start of a new, turn of events, as it were, for Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold, as you probably have heard, has taken the afternoon assignment. He will be working from 3 to 5 weekdays from this point forward. We're so excited for Bill, so grateful to have him on the team. And while he will tell you in a few moments, we sat down together last week. Actually, I've been on vacation. Jane and I had a couple of weddings over the last few days. And so I sat down with Bill and had an opportunity to talk to him about the Early Morning Late Show, why the change, what he's hoping to accomplish in the afternoon, and to talk to you about praying for Faith Radio as we look for an adequate replacement for Bill. And of course, it's easy to say, but the truth is there's no replacing Bill Arnold. He's just done such a great job. We hate to see him go in the mornings. Jane and I are truly two of his biggest fans, so we are feeling the pain as well. But we do believe that God has called Faith Radio for such a time as this, and he's prepared someone to take this role in the not-too-distant future. And in the meantime, you'll be hearing probably a little more of me than perhaps you enjoy, but we'll be doing our best to fill in and keep the pace and the ball rolling, as it were. I do want to start with a word of Scripture today. I was thinking this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's, of course, the love chapter. And Logan Roush is sitting in here as board operator this morning. Logan, I was at two different weddings this past weekend. Over the past week or so. Our daughter, Jody, got married on Memorial Day, and beautiful time. Hard on mom and dad. Yeah, it's you can join us.
Bill never let me.
Yeah, was that right? Well, no. It was a very emotional weekend. It was lovely.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was hotter than it could possibly be, and we were in the botanical gardens. We had a destination wedding to Des Moines, and that's where Jody lives and works, and her fiancé and now husband. So anyway, long story short, we were there over Memorial Day. We took a couple of days off last week, and then we went to Nisswa, to the Grandview Lodge in that area, and our nephew and his fiance got married this past weekend. So I'm all about weddings, and I'm all about love, so I'm going to share just a couple of verses today. Paul has been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he says, but I want to show you a more excellent way. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then he says this, and this is so profound, because it's never about feelings, Logan. It's about actions. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So, dearly beloved, if you'll have me... No, wait a minute. It is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. We're going to pray and then take a break, and then I have an interview with Bill Arnold coming up in just a moment. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our friends. We pray a special blessing on all who listened this morning. May we decrease, may you increase, and be glorified in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. It's 8 minutes past the hour. We're going to be back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment.
Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, and yes, this is a season of change at Faith Radio. So grateful to have you tuning in this morning. Hope your day is starting off on the right foot. We have a little bit of a role reversal this morning as I'm interviewing Bill Arnold.
Are we recording this, Dick?
I think we are.
I'm sleeping right now, I believe.
I asked, Jane says, well, why don't Bill just come in? I said, well, I don't think he's quite ready to do that this morning. So we're taping, but there's a good reason for that. And Bill, many people are finding out even as we speak that Susie Larson, due to some health concerns and just margin in her life, Susie has always preached a desire to, you know, kind of live in margin, make sure that your life has margin for whatever else God wants to do, and that he's designed our bodies and our lives to have a degree of rest. She is stepping down and actually has stepped down effective last week. Live the Promise will no longer be heard on Faith Radio or anywhere for that matter. And so in the conversations that followed, I talked to Bill Arnold.
Well, I first have to start by wiping the tears coming down my cheek from the loss of Susie, because I love Susie and our listeners love Susie. And everybody loves Susie. Let's face it.
Yes.
Susie's fantastic and has been such an amazing resource for Faith Radio for so many years. And the fact that we are losing her on the team is a really a tough one. We're all processing that, and we're sad to see her go. She does walk the walk, though. She talks the talk and walks the walk. And she has often said many times that she wants to have margin in her life. Susie is a successful writer and speaker and radio host, and it goes on and on. There's nothing she can't do. So she is really trying to find more space in her life to do things and be with family and deal with health issues and be a continued writer and speaker. And she had a fantastic run here.
Well, you think about it, and it's certainly something you've learned and are learning, that 2 hours every day of radio it comes at you fast, and as soon as it's over at 8:01 in the morning on Central Time, it's what have you done for me lately?
Well, I know. What do you got for me tomorrow? And, I mean, I've always thought of mornings in particular, and I've been attracted to mornings, is there, it's such a sacred time in a person's day, because you're just getting up, and, you know, you either slept or you didn't, and you're looking at what your day is going to be all about, and that space in the car when you're driving to work or to an appointment or something that's important, it's kind of sacred time where you're connecting with God. You're getting your mind in the right place. So for me to be able to be in the morning space doing that, being a friend and a companion and hopefully lifting people's spirits as they're getting their day started, I've really treated that as kind of sacred time.
Thank you for that. And the tone has been right. The humor has been so appropriate. Why are we talking about all of this? Because we have asked, and Bill has accepted, to take over the 3 to 5 p.m. slot Monday through Friday on Faith Radio, filling in where Susie left off. And I believe, to use, I think, an old country western song, we didn't quit dancing, we just changed partners. in this sense, it's a good connotation, because I'm excited about having you starting today, really on the air on Faith Radio from 3 to 5 in the afternoon.
Well, it is exciting, and I just want to think of myself as a team player. And when the coach says, can you play in a different time slot, my answer is, oh, yeah, I'd love to. Of course, that'd be great. But I have to say, I'm conflicted, because I don't want to lose my morning friends that I've come to know and love. The listeners, the people that have responded,
sure,
and given me so much affirmation that I'm helping them start their day, and they appreciate it. So in a way, I'm going to miss them, and I'm going to miss my regular guests that come on. And this is good time. This is a great time of the day, and it's a fantastic time to be on radio. The only thing is just the getting up part that I won't miss.
Well, none of us blame you, and I know you have 1,000 questions as listeners, and we're going to be doing our best to answer them this week, one by one as they come in. But I also hope that you'll use this as an opportunity. I think even in this next segment, we're going to invite you to call in. And if you have a a tribute or a memory or a thought you'd like to share about Bill, we'd love to hear from you also. You can email us at on our webpage at myfaithradio.com. You can let us know how much you appreciate Bill Arnold. I'm grateful. You know, my wife and I are conflicted in this because we have loved the Early Morning Late Show from its beginning. We enjoy your just your different camera angle. You have a natural inquisitiveness that I know you're going to bring to the afternoon. I will want to say and go on record, and you can verify this. I did ask you to do both ends of the day, right?
You did. You did, which I said no to very quickly.
You did. You didn't really even pray about it. I said, you sure you can't do the morning show and the afternoon? There's a gap in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, what I will miss is the time with people, in the listeners in the morning. And I have to say, they have really come out of the woodwork, and they've been such faithful supporters of Faith Radio, and they have let their feelings be known that they like what we're doing here, and that is so affirming. I mean, as a radio host, you get more affirmation in probably 2 weeks than a lot of people get in a whole career, mm-hmm. because people are so generous with their affirmation, and Faith Radio has become such an important part of their day that I'm going to miss that. But I'm going to hopefully carry that into the afternoons, and I'll have to learn who's listening in the afternoon. I'm that 4 to 5, probably more drive time, like mm-hmm. the morning.
Sure.
That's going to probably feel similar. The 3 to 4, I don't know. Are you in your car at 3 driving, or are you still at work, or are you at home getting things ready? And so I'm be very interested to get to know the listeners at that time.
Well, if you're just joining us, if you're you are hearing what you're hearing today, we are happy for Bill and sad for the Early Morning Late Show. We'll be talking about our next steps in this next segment. I want to tell you a little bit about what we're doing and how you can help us. And we want to celebrate and thank Bill for really his service in the Early Morning Late Show. The good news is we are not losing Bill Arnold. He's just moving to a new time zone, so to speak. He'll be 3 to 5 Central Time, 4 to 6 for our friends in Hartford and on the East Coast. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. Thanks for listening this morning to the Faith Radio Morning Edition. I guess it's the Early Morning Late Show minus Bill Arnold. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
I don't either, Dick. Hey, I love the Early Morning Late Show.
I did too.
And I've had so much fun, and it's been such a great, great experience for me that I will miss the mornings, kind of. But I will really look forward to the afternoon and getting to do the time slot from 3 to 5 Central and 4 to 6 Eastern. And I think it's going to give me an opportunity to do a little bit more of what I really love, which is going into deeper spiritual issues. I'm thinking that possibly 1 hour will be more of that, and the other hour will be more of top-of-the-mind news stories and a little bit of what we did in the morning show.
Well, that's good. Well, in other words, what you're saying, you would do the Early Morning Late Show if it were later in the morning.
Exactly. super late Early Morning Late Show.
If you're just joining us, and we realize people are tuning in all along these half-hour segments, last Friday was the last installment edition of Live the Promise with Susie Larson. Susie notified us a few weeks ago that you know, she's had historically, it's really been a part of her life story. Back in her 20s, she had Lyme disease. It was a lingering and long-lasting problem, and she's made great progress in her health concerns, but she's really at a stage and time of her life where she's needing a little more margin, and she decided that now would be a good time for her to step aside and focus on her writing and her speaking. And so well, we certainly honor that. We respect Susie and Kevin, and we wish them God's best in the days ahead. Certainly, they have been a tremendous blessing to Faith Radio, and her story is a great story in our history, starting with a half hour. Then we bumped her up to an hour and then 2 hours, and the rest, they say, is history. But life does go on. There are seasons of change, and so as a part of that, knowing that Susie was leaving, really our first go-to person was Bill Arnold to see if that was a position that he would be interested in. And you did take a couple of days, prayed about it, and got back to us. And
I did. I did. And as much as I'm going to miss Susie, I can almost promise that Susie will be a regular guest on the show, because I just checked my bank statement, and she did cash a check recently. So that says, yes, I will be there for you, because I still want Susie's voice and expertise, sure, and wisdom, and her beautiful presence and spirit on the air. And I bet she'll come on regularly. That's what I'm hoping. She'll make time for us.
I would anticipate
I know she
that.
Will, so
sure,
we won't lose her entirely. But I am, Dick, as I've said before, I wanted a couple of days to pray about it, because I've always thought of the morning time as really a sacred time. And it's been such a privilege. I remember going back as early as when I was a kid, and I remembered hearing the radio on in the background, because my mom was listening to it, and I started to listen to it. And as you get ready for your day, I was always secretly a little envious of the people that were on the air talking about life and mm-hmm. talking about the day, because I had to go do the day and they were talking about it, but they were so comforting.
Sure.
It was a friend. It felt like a friend. And that's what I've hoped I was in the morning to people as they got ready for their day. Just a friend.
Oh.
Someone that came alongside and got their day ready and maybe put a smile on their face and gave them some information about what was going on in the world and look at it from a Christian perspective. And hopefully we'll be doing lots more of that in the afternoon.
Well, I think that's the case. And, you know, the beautiful thing for us is we're not losing Bill Arnold. It's just kind of like rearranging the furniture, as it were, in our program lineup. So from 3 to 5 Central, 4 to 6 Eastern Time, you can hear Bill and his guests and those kinds of things. I want to put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have, as you think about the last 14, 15 months, a favorite experience or segment or guest, and then some unusual things that happened during the course of the morning show that was a super delight to you?
Well, you know, there has been so many moments of surprise, and I think that's one of the elements when you do live radio is you can't anticipate a lot, but when the surprise happens, you're so delighted. There have been times when I think it was Martin Luther King's niece.
Oh, yes.
Alveda
King, yeah. And I said to her, Alveda, what was it like, you know, hanging around with, you know, Uncle Martin, you know, and your dad and the families? And she said, oh, it was so delightful. It was just so fun. We would be in the backyard and we would be cooking and we would be laughing and telling jokes and singing songs. And I said, you used to sing? And she goes, well, yeah, we used to sing all the time. I said, well, how about singing for me this morning? She goes, what's awfully early? I said, I know, but how about it? And she cleared her throat and broke into song.
Yes, I remember
so I had,
that.
Yeah, at Alveda King singing for me. That's the kind of surprises that make live radio so engaging. And I love that she was able to just say, yeah, I'll do it. And that's, I have lots of stories like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I certainly love the guest lineup. Numbers of them will stay in the morning show. We're going to continue to kind of keep the formula.
Yes.
Going forward with the numbers of guests on different topics. Some of my favorites on the Early Morning Late Show have been certainly your conversations with David Akeman, Rob Bluey.
Yes, and I have to say I've gotten an education being a host of the morning show, because who else gets to have conversations with these smart, articulate people that have spent a lot of time thinking about a certain subject, and then they bring their expertise and wisdom to the table, and we get to feast from it.
Well, and I know that many of them will also be joining you in the afternoons.
And I look forward to that as well. And so they're going to be guests that will also appear in the afternoons from time to time. And there's going to be lots of other guests that people on Faith Radio have not met yet. So there's going to be a lot of new adventure around the corner.
So lots of opportunity to listen this afternoon, beginning at 3 p.m. Central Time for Bill Arnold in his new time slot. By the way, one thing you can do for us is thank you for praying for Faith Radio. Neil Stavem and I will be filling in for the next few weeks. And we'll be doing the best we can, and but we know this is a short-term fix, because we really do want God's man or woman to be chosen to fill Bill's role here in the morning show. And so would really appreciate your prayers, your support, and your encouragement, and your patience while we have some time to figure things out. We want to make the next right move at God's direction. So that would be a huge help to us to know that you're praying for us.
And I also would ask my listeners to tune in from 3 to 5 and just see what I sound like when I'm fully awake. I mean, I might be terrible. This might be awful, Dick, so I might be begging for my morning job back in about a week.
Well, that could be done. But no, thanks, Bill. We love you.
We love you.
It's been a great run, and while we're sad to see you leave the morning show, we're looking forward to hearing you this afternoon.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dick.
Thanks, friends. Yep. We'll be back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. We're 30 minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to be visiting with Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. So much in the news, and we'll be discussing that, in fact, coming up after the news. By the way, talked about being at a couple of weddings this past week. I also want to just say happy anniversary to my dear wife, 39 years on June 2nd. So thank you, Jane, for 39 years. Really appreciate and love you. And so with that, more of Faith Radio Mornings. The news is next. Past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, along with the Faith Radio Morning team of Logan and Paul Perreault. Great to have these gentlemen here working alongside me. You know, roadblocks for blended families. Ron Deal, an author and founder of Smart Step Families, was recently a guest on Faith Radio, and he said one of the more difficult traits to practice in step families is patience. Now, I think that's true in all, but here Ron addresses what can happen if you don't have patience.
If you're kind of moody or you got a quick temper, it's really hard for stepchildren to warm up to you. Right? It's really hard for a spouse to want to invest themselves with you. It's hard for the spouse to say, you know what, I'm going to trust my kids with you. No, if you got a quick temper and you're pretty harsh and out of the chute, you're negative and critical about something, then everybody starts tiptoeing around you. They want to avoid. Well, that doesn't generate and foster trust in a relationship, right? Think about the fear that we started talking about. Something like this does what to fear? Oh, it escalates it. It just makes me more fearful that I can't trust you, that I can't be with you, that my kids are not safe around you. So the fear goes up, and anytime fear goes up, the relationship quality goes down.
If you'd visit myfaithradio.com, you could hear the entire interview with Ron Deal. It's entitled Roadblocks for Blended Families. If you just put in the search bar Ron Deal, that interview will pop up from 2015. Great information wherever you may be in your step family relationship. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics from Hillsdale College. Don't go away. Time is 37 past the hour.
How many copies of the Bible do you have in your home? I dare say it's more than just one copy, right? So my next question is, are you reading it? This is Jim Garlow. Many of us have not only more than one copy of the Bible, we have several different translations. But are we reading it? And is God's Word changing us as a result? The Bible is still the number one best-selling book ever, but it may be the least read. We can read, we just don't. And family times around the Bible, prayer, essentially gone in today's culture of soccer and other activities that have replaced it. However, as parents, it still remains our privilege and our responsibility to instill in our children a love for God's Word. This is Jim Garlow. Reestablish your family devotions this week. You will not regret it. Live out your faith as a family. This is Jim Garlow.
Faith Radio Mornings, I'm Dick Whitworth. It's 38 past the hour, and so delighted to have our friend and regular guest Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics, on the line from Hillsdale College. Professor Carrington, Adam, welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Great to be back, and great to talk with you this time.
Well, thank you. As you probably have heard, I think we've tried to alert everybody. Bill is moving to afternoons. We've loved him in the early morning late show. It's hard to replace. In fact, the search is on, so would appreciate your prayers. But we are so grateful that you're willing to continue on in your regular time slot. We really appreciate hearing from you. And you miss a program with Adam Carrington, and you miss a lot, as I look forward to hearing from you and learning from you. And boy, June is going to be a busy month, is it not?
Yes, and it used to be that summer is when things winded down a bit, at least in, as far as political news. There are more vacations, more recesses for Congress and such, but does not look like that's going to be the case this time, especially with the courts and I think even Congress is talking about staying in session longer.
Well, it does sound like it's going to be an interesting season nonetheless, and I know we're going to talk about some Supreme Court decisions coming down the pike this month, but it's Russia, Russia, Russia. It just never seems to get out of the news. And, of course, there was a release of a 20-page memo that was drafted some time ago by President Trump's lawyers. And then yesterday on the TV news, one of the morning shows, President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, discussed the possibility or at least the question of could President Trump literally pardon himself? Comment?
Yes. And what's funny about this is I taught the presidency fall of 2016 here at Hillsdale College, and this question came up, could a president pardon him or herself? But it was actually being asked, if Hillary Clinton won, would she be able to pardon herself? And it's sort of strange that she lost and this question is still coming up. I think that the answer textually would seem to be that constitutionally, yes, because the pardoning power is given to the president with exceptions named, but only one exception is given, impeachment. If someone has been impeached, then the president can't pardon him or her. There really isn't any other exception given. So textually, it would seem to be the case that he could pardon himself. I think that there, and I think Rudy Giuliani pointed this out when he was being interviewed, there are serious, serious non-constitutional or non-legal repercussions to that. I think the reason no one has done that in part is because I think politically that would be so dangerous and may even trigger impeachment itself. But I think the short constitutional answer is he can. The political answer is probably it would be crippling to a presidency to do so.
Didn't Mr. Giuliani more or less say that he wouldn't do that, but even though he had the right, wasn't that pretty much the inference?
Yes, he basically said that he wasn't going to do it, but he could if given, if he wanted to. He has the constitutional power. We'll see. I think that's probably the case, although Rudy Giuliani has had to walk back some of his statements
sure.
made in the president's name. But I would see that holding because I think that President Trump probably has some idea that politically that would look so corrupt, to be honest, to try to pardon oneself, that I think it's a rail he might not touch unless he was already in such deep water.
You know, he seems to be one to throw the ball, a Hail Mary, to the end zone when he really just wants to get to the 50-yard line. So the ball goes deep and everyone gets upset and excited and overreacts when really the conversation is at midfield. Does that kind of feel like his M.O.?
Yeah, I guess I would say he tries to move the conversation into the end zone, but I think, yeah, the reality often ends up, like you said, I think that's a good analogy about the 50-yard line. We see him mention, we've seen the president on several occasions state what would be, I think, very problematic or at least controversial things he could do or things he would do, and then when the actual policy comes out, you're right, it seems to be much more moderate, much more, I think, limited in what was being done. Now, this has been a little bit undone recently, but, you know, the tariffs, for example, at one point it looked like there was going to be wide, massive, extensive tariffs to almost all of our allies as well as our some of our political foes. And then when it came out, about two-thirds of the world were exempted, or about two-thirds of our trading partners were exempted. So I think that would be an example to back up that point you're making.
Yeah. Well, let's save the opinion piece that you wrote for the Washington Examiner till after the break. Let's go ahead and talk about some of this tariff and trade situations, because in that same conversation, now he's talking about, instead of NAFTA, a separate deal for Canada and a separate deal for Mexico. What's your take on this? Is that a win-win?
Certainly Canada and Mexico don't see it as so, or the European Union for the things he's wanting to pull out of there. I think that this is going to test a lot of two theories. One is the broader theory of whether free trade zones are economically good for the United States of America. And President Trump, one of the things he was elected on was challenging that orthodoxy, which has really been cross-party orthodoxy since the 1990s. The second thing it's going to challenge is President Trump's own self-described ability to make deals, because bilateral deals, which is the trade speak I've learned for these deals that aren't made in groups of countries but just between countries directly, those involve a lot more one-on-one deal making, obviously between the countries, but then also between their leaders. So I think it's going to be interesting, because here's the gamble underneath all of those things. Does Canada, Mexico, and other parts of the world, how much do they need the United States? Because they don't want to make these kind of deals. Will this drive them to try to put their backing behind China or other countries that are trying to rise in international trade power? Or will it force them to make deals that they wouldn't otherwise make because of the threat of having problems with the United States of America? And I think this is a test of American power, and I don't think it's clear how it's going to come out, but we'll see. The president's pulled off things that have been surprising before. We'll see what he does here.
This is a very complicated issue, and as the older I've gotten, the less I understand about all of the aspects that go into it. But a tariff war does have some unintended consequences, potentially, for taxpayers, people like you and me.
Yes, and here's where I think part of what makes it complicated is, you and myself and other and people are listening have probably been on two sides of the driver walker a scenario where you're driving and you're mad because someone jaywalked, and then 20 minutes later, after you've gotten out of your car, what did you do? You jaywalked, and then you can't believe a car almost hit you and you're mad at them. I think some of this is similar perspective. We have a perspective as consumers, and yes. I think as consumers, prices are going to go up. You're going to lose some of your tax cut, for example, that you got to higher prices. But what President Trump is pushing is the worker side of this. The idea is his hope, and there's some debate about whether this will work, but his hope is that this will save jobs. So the people that might be paying more, there might be more Americans that are keeping their jobs, and I think we're gonna have that tested, because the economy is doing well. What would a year or two of tariffs do to jobs and to how much things cost? And there are people who say both will be fine. There's people that will say both will be bad. I'm not an economist, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially with how other countries react to it.
48 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. My guest is Adam Carrington, Assistant Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College. And we'll be back with more with Adam Carrington in just a few moments. Listening to the Faith Radio Morning Show. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. It's 50 minutes past the hour. My guest is Adam Carrington. He is the Assistant Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College. Recently writing in the Washington Examiner an opinion piece, Courts, Cars, and Conscience, Why We Must Defend Free Speech. And, of course, this month, the understanding is that the Supreme Court will decide three cases on this topic in the coming months. Professor Carrington, I'm going to ask you to put on your professor hat here. Talk about the three cases. Two of the three I was fairly familiar with. The one actually on trade unions was kind of new to me. I was kind of under the radar. But can you give us a quick overview of what the Supreme Court is looking at deciding this month?
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of huge decisions coming out. They've been backloading their schedule, not putting out a lot of their big cases. But yes, I wrote this article for the Washington Examiner and grouped three of them together because I thought they all pertain to something about free speech that we don't always think about. We often think of protecting free speech as keeping the government from telling you not to say something, telling you you can't say something. I think all three of these cases concern the issue of the opposite of that, which is stopping the government from making you say something that you don't want to say. And the three cases, the most famous is the Masterpiece Cake Shop, where the owner of that shop in Colorado did not want to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding, arguing not just religious grounds but free speech grounds, that this was a form of expression, it was a form of approval, and the government making him bake the cake is forcing him to say something he doesn't want to say. The other two cases I thought were similar. There's an abortion case that many of the listeners may be familiar with from out in California, and that case has to do with forcing crisis pregnancy centers to give information about the availability and ease of getting abortions, which of course is absolutely antithetical to their mission. And then finally, the third you were saying that is maybe not as well known to some of the listeners is actually about unions, public employee unions. And the idea is that even if you don't agree with what unions do, you are often forced to be a part of those unions.
Sure.
And to pay dues. And the idea is one of the people suing says, what they do with those dues is inherently political, and that is forcing me to give my support to speech that unions are doing without my approval and against what I want, and it's being forced to by me. The government is forcing me to do it themselves legally. So that's how I tried to hold those three together, is all are instances of the government is seemingly forcing people to speak and say things they wouldn't otherwise say.
Do you have any sense in how they're going to rule on any or all three? And does the Supreme Court see these as free speech issues?
That's going to be the great divide, I think, because the way free speech cases typically go in the courts is if you can establish that you are speaking and that speech is being curtailed or changed or whatever, generally, the court agrees with you. We're not quite free speech absolutists in the sense of every claim wins, but almost every claim wins. So I think in each case, the argument against it is going to be, this isn't really speech. And I think that in the union case, to kind of work backwards from what I said before, I think the union case, I think it's going to be 5-4 saying the government can't force these union dues to be paid. There was a previous case that was almost exactly the same as this where the court split 4-4, and this is when Scalia was dead and Gorsuch wasn't on the court yet. I think Gorsuch will be a vote for that. I think on the abortion case, I think they will rule for the although it might be narrow, they'll rule for the clinic against the state forcing them to refer abortions. But then Masterpiece, I think, is going to be interesting because I think it's either going to be arguing that it's not speech, that baking a cake is not really expression the same way as writing a letter or giving a speech. But I think there's a small chance that they may win on the idea that this was religious bigotry. And now, if that happens, if they can say that the Colorado is being particularly nasty to the owner, it really will, it'll help them, but it really won't help a lot of other litigants. So my idea is that free speech will win on two of these, but Masterpiece, I think, is one where it's unlikely that they'll get a big win.
All right. Adam Carrington, our guest today on Faith Radio Mornings. And again, Adam, thank you for your time today. We always appreciate hearing from you. Big plans for the summer?
Working on a lot of research and a book here in my office, and then spend a little bit of time with family as well. But no big plans. Just going to try to enjoy the time.
Well, we love having you on Faith Radio Mornings and being a part of our team. Always appreciate your insight and look forward to talking to you again soon. Our time is 56 past the hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Faith Radio Mornings, 58 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, and we're in a season of change at Faith Radio. Bill Arnold moving to the afternoons, 3 to 5 this afternoon, Central Time. Be sure and check Bill out. I know you're going to enjoy it. He has a lot of surprises up his sleeve, not just because he's a magician. He has a lot of fun things happening, and we will appreciate your prayers as we search for a replacement for Bill in the mornings. In the meantime, Neil Stavem and I will be hosting and taking care of those responsibilities along with Logan Roush. He is our board op, and Paul Perot, our faithful part of our morning team news and traffic, and does a great job. So grateful for your friendship, your prayers, and your support too, by the way. Thank you for your generous giving during our fundraisers this past year. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, and I can tell you that it's already been strong. A giving, if you haven't fulfilled your pledge and you would like to, June 30th is our fiscal year-end deadline. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.